In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my man trapped in a box, the little guy between the pages trying to figure it all out, the one, the only.
Josh, I want to have a real conversation today, not a fake conversation, not one of these surface conversations, a real deep conversation. Travis Ratz here.
Oh, let's have one of those deep conversations today on the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis Ratz and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades, and you folks. It is the summer event. Every summer, we pick a thing to do. Well, almost every summer. For a long time, it feels like we've done this. And so this summer, we're going back. We're digging into some indie graphic novels. And we, if you listen to the last episode, did our draft of what books we're going to read for this summer series. We decided to go with something that feels pretty indie, pretty graphic novel-y. I think if you're like, if you say the phrase or the words graphic novel, this is something that comes to mind for me. It's like a semi-autobiographical. It is contained and introspective. We read In by Will McPhail, who is a New Yorker cartoonist. Is there anything more like Will McPhail, a famous New Yorker cartoonist, did a graphic novel that we're reading for the show. Like, we get a tote bag.
I feel like in some circles, I feel like, yeah, and that's like dinner party. That's like Manhattan dinner party conversation. I'm bringing my friend over. Oh, by the way, he's a cartoonist for the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does it for the Atlantic, but he's primarily New Yorker on there.
Yeah. So we read a book called In by Will, and I don't know who published it. Normally I try to say who publishes these things. It came
this
out
was Dark Horse imprint.
Was believe, it?
Right?
Wow.
No. That was
Houghton
no.
Mifflin. Dude, yeah, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. This is like a serious publisher.
Or a textbook.
A textbook publisher. So this came out in 2021. And Travis, can you kind of tell us what this
what was happening in 2021? Well, it was a dark time, Josh. It actually, the dark time we were having relates to some themes in this book.
A little bit.
Yeah. This In follows our protagonist, Nick. He's British, or he's somewhere in the United Kingdom.
Is he?
Of some sorts. Yeah.
I don't think he's in the United Kingdom.
I think he's
just a dude. Where did you get United Kingdom?
I feel like
it's the most New York looking thing ever. Did you read the wrong book?
No, it's In. He starts off in a water slide.
Yeah, water slide.
Is he really?
Are there water slides in the UK? It's like the most US New York coded book ever.
That's what I was thinking too. And then it was weird when there was like in England.
He's in a bar ordering a milk stout. Where is he in England? I think you're making all of this up. Because he calls his mom mum? Is that what you think?
Okay.
You mean English because he calls his mom mum?
Well, that could be a sign. Well, I'm gonna hold off on that. I'm going to give it to you. But if anywhere in this podcast I come across the fact that he's somewhere in the UK, then it's happening. All right, so
I don't think he's in the UK at all.
Okay, so Nick, our protagonist, in some unknown city somewhere in the world. But it could be anywhere in the world because Nick is dealing with the issue of being, he's a lonely guy, right? He likes his solitude. But there's very few characters in this book, really. It's Nick, it's his family, including his mother, his sister, his nephew, and this girl he starts to get interested in and starts seeing. And it's basically Nick navigating his life as an illustrator and trying to move away from his self-imposed solitude into more engaging and real conversations. He's a kind of guy, a kind of character who finds social interaction awkward at times. So probably is the type that would shy away from engaging in meaningful interactions. And so he pushes himself past that. And our story is him kind of exploring that kind of world where you're in trying to engage more on meaningful levels.
Yeah, trying to have deep conversations. He sucks at small talk is really what it comes down to. He doesn't know how to do it. And then he realizes that, hey, if I just say, if I just talk from my heart, man, if I just try to connect, it opens everything up. And so throughout the book, we get these kind of colorful vistas when he realizes that, oh, if I open up, this is what connection is, right? Mm-hmm. We're kind of going through, and that's a very, you said it at the top, a very 2021 kind of thing, right? We're coming out of COVID. This is an exploration of connection and understanding your fellow person, like your the community around you. But it also deals with, you know, and I guess this will be an interesting thing because, I think the themes, and we talked about this as we're drafting books, or maybe we talked about it on the show, or we just talked about it, you and me. It is this idea of like indie comic books, graphic novels allow you to explore themes more specifically, right? Not that you don't know the themes of grief and a Spider-Man comic, but when we look at something like an indie comic, those things are right up front, right? Our themes of being alone, the themes of not making connections, the theme of like death and coping with the fact that his mom has cancer, right? Like all of this comes into play, but it's played with very wry New Yorker jokes.
Right.
Just some very
and running like, bits.
Yeah. Running bits, New Yorker gags. And you don't really pay attention until the very end when I'm like, oh, he does cartoons for the New Yorker. Ah, yes, that makes sense. You know, like it's the way that he portrays the series of coffee shops he goes into.
Right. That's very New Yorker. There's a running bit where it's always like coffee shops and bars always have these weird kind of avant-garde hipster names like All Your Friends Are Married Bar or like Just Give Us Your Money Coffee or something like that. I tell you, Josh, I really like this book.
I
felt seen.
tell me why, Travis. Let's dig into that. What made you feel seen in this book?
As a 42-year-old unmarried, never been married man who has whose closest relationships are his sister and his mother, and he also lives next to his sister and his nephew, and has to make concerted efforts to be like, okay, this weekend I'm going to go out and do some social engagements. How am I going to prepare for this mentally? Yeah. And I went to two Friday after work, Josh, back to back.
Wow.
3:30 and then a 5 o'clock one. And I was like, all right, let's get into this.
Wow.
It was just, you know, we're doing surface chit chat. We're like, oh yeah. Well, it's all teachers. So you're doing teacher chit chat. Thank God. Or else what would we talk about? no, but this, I think for me, it's this idea of struggling with enjoying solitude. And then when self-imposed solitude because it brings you joy, and then when that creeps into loneliness, distinguishing between the two and knowing when you have to kind of get out of your comfort zone when you need that social interaction, and when just kind of keeping an awareness for your mental state if you just live alone when you need to get out and do things.
Yeah. I think I will tell you, you know, like my wife and I have been married for 17 years. And so at some point you go like all of our friends have kids, they're married, they have everything going on in their life. So we don't often go out with people. Right. Unless there's like an event that someone's like, oh, we're doing this. Right. So we don't normally do that. So I will agree with you. This idea of like you can still have solitude even in this you know, relationship you've been in, like having been married for so long. We went out yesterday with a friend and her new boyfriend, and then we are going to a like a party today for a friend of ours who got their doctorate, right? And so that's 2 days. That's 2 days in a row of like small talk and meeting people and doing that thing, and it can it can be daunting. And so I this is that piece where you get comfortable in a certain way, and I guess like the theme of this is like he's a cartoonist who works from home. Right? Like, what occasion does he have? He doesn't go to the office. He doesn't have the need to develop small talk. And I would tell you, like, as a teacher, as a teacher, like, you don't have small talk with a lot of adults because you're in your own room all the time, right? You're in your room with kids. And so there's not a lot of small talk unless you're on your way to the copy machine. And then it's always like, well, it's jammed again, huh? Right. So you like there's it's not always easy to make those deeper connections. So I totally get, you know, I don't have the full fledged experience that Nick has in this. But the opening scene where he's trying to craft moments and he's in that opening scene and he like wants to be sad. He wants to go to a bar and be a sad man. What did you what did you think of that opening? That opening
to play the part. Actually, I will address what you're talking about here. But I was going to go back at the opening scene with the water slide is one of my favorite openings in all comics that I've read. But to your point on there, I loved it. And again, that's what struck with me is that is often something that you know can get you out there is if you kind of play pretend like I'm gonna be this person in this environment. In this case, he's the sad guy at the bar, and he's the joke is he's like, what do sad guys drink? And he gets a milk stout, and he's like, and they're like, how about like an apple spritzer? And he's like, yeah, like, let's do that one. But can you keep the bottle? It's like, it doesn't come in a bottle.
Yeah, can I get an Aperol spritz? Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really funny. And I also think it goes to Nick's character, because even though he is a cartoonist and works at home, he constantly puts himself in public settings in hopes of having an interaction. We see him on a train, and there's a great follow-up bit to the opening that you were talking about there, where you know he's just kind of doodling. And he looks across where he's sitting on the train, and he sees a girl, a pretty girl, and she kind of like looks over at him, and he looks at her, and he goes back to drawing. And then before she leaves, she's like, "Are you drawing me?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, like I'm kind of a cartoonist." She goes, "Stop. It's really creepy. I know you don't think it's creepy because you're not taking a photo. It's actually creepier."
I thought that was really good, because he thinks it's going to be like this meet cute, right? Like he's setting up this conversation where he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a cartoonist." And she's going to go, "Oh, you are?" Right? But that doesn't happen. Talk to me a little bit about why did
that's also kind of like the thing that's so great about this is, because I don't know about you, but those are the kind of social boundaries that I'm constantly aware of in my head. I'm like, "Wait, like I'm looking at this person is standing right next to the menu. I'm looking at the menu. Are they going to think I'm looking at them? Because I'm, so let me, you know, those kind of weird things that you have to kind of navigate. And you always think you're overstepping something, or like, how is your interaction being perceived by other people on there?
Yeah. But, so talk to me, why did you like the water slide bit so much? The opening of it starts with him going down a water slide, and he finds the part of the water slide where he gets to be alone for a second. Right.
Where it's just him. Yeah.
So tell me why did you like that bit?
Well, one, the water slide itself is an interesting water slide. It's he said it's like the biggest like bowl water slide there is. So it's basically one of those toilet bowl water slides. And he makes this analogy. It works off the same way that those penny donation plastic tube things work at a mall, where once you drop in, you just kind of circle down and then you get dumped out on there.
Yeah.
And he describes it. He goes, "My favorite part is once you jump into that bowl and it's just you by yourself going around and around." And as someone who did water slides, we used to go to Golfland Sunsplash every summer as a kid. One of my favorite sensations was just being in those tubes by yourself. Like, you can make faces. You're not worried about what you look like. I was a chubby kid, so I'm like, I don't have to suck in anymore, you know? Yeah. And it was just this kind of peacefulness, but mixed with this adrenaline of, like, I'm doing something. And so using that metaphor of the water slide as like, this place of peace and harmony and very being comfortable being alone, and even if it's only temporary before you're literally dumped back out into a pool of other people, right? That becomes an interesting metaphor. Yeah. And there's a bit of mystery or foreshadowing or kind of magical realism where as he's going through this bowl, he sees like some kids that are like hunkered to the side of this water slide bowl, and then he gets dumped out, and then he's walking with his friends, and he's like, we didn't talk about it, but we're all pretty sure there was like some strange kids in that supposed to be supposedly empty bowl.
It like breaks his loneliness, right? Like, he then is not as free because someone is watching him be free, right? You can tell that you know, Will is a New Yorker cartoonist, not just because of the kind of wry, dry kind of satire in it, but because this is a series of vignettes, right? Like, it's a series of little stories of, I'm going to go to this bar, this coffee shop, or I'm going to meet this person, or I'm going to go help my mom fix her house. And here's the humorous interaction between my mom and I, or the scene where he's with the plumber who's fixing his toilet.
That one's great.
Yeah. And they're like staring at each other, and he goes and he says something. He's like, well, we can make small talk. And he's like, if you got some place to be, you can go somewhere. And he literally goes, I don't have anywhere to be at all. And you're like, for me as the plumber, I would be like, so I hate, Travis Ratz, I hate when people come to our house to fix things. I absolutely, absolutely hate it. Like, when someone's in your house and you're like, do I talk to them? Do I have to talk to them?
Do I have to make small talk to them? But I can't leave them alone.
If I leave them alone, upstairs, they want me to fix the broken washing machine. Is that weird? Or do I have to like stand around and watch them? I don't think they're going to steal anything, but is it weird for me to just abandon them in this?
And then you're like, do I offer them water? Like, crap, all I have is sink water.
Yeah.
Should I tell them all I have is sink water, or should I just pour water in a cup? Is it weird to give like a stranger like your glass of water? Should it be in a bottle? Like, they don't want to drink from your glass. They don't know where this has been. But these are like, what goes, it's like, it's the neurotic New Yorker, right?
Yeah.
And I watched an interview with Will after reading this, because I was like, I kind of want to know what this guy's vibe is. And he was doing a video interview that was filmed. And I was like, why is this guy British? Why is he not British? This book is set in London. And he very much comes across as someone, he's very humorous. Just like, he's just naturally funny guy. But also a little maybe overdoes it, you know, in the sense of like, you could tell he uses humor at moments to kind of like break tension or maybe deflect or to transition into something on there. And that was really kind of interesting to see. This is not a memoir. Will is not this character, but you know, writers use these characters as stand-ins. I wanted to talk to you about something on here. And I think this is what you can see in certain independent graphic novels or graphic novels in general, where it's self-contained. What did you think about the pacing of this? Because it's not a series, it's contained here. Were you reading through it very quickly? There was lots of silent panels on here. So how did that pace hit you?
I mean, I read it in one sitting. I think you and I had the same experience. You literally, we did the draft and then you texted me after that episode to go, I already read it. Like, graphic novel summer is here. We've done it. I read it already. And so I read it a couple nights later. It reads quickly. And I think that's partly just because the type of story it is. I think it reads quickly because you mentioned it. There's a lot of silent panels. There's a lot of feeling panels in it. And I think that that's another piece of graphic novels is you're not, sometimes you and I get, we've talked about it before, like the 22 page issue, right? And I have to do 22 pages, and then I have to do six of them in order to hit the trade, five or six of them in order to hit the right trade length. And it can feel artificial, right? Or it can feel like, oh, this part's way too long. but it's way too long because I couldn't switch in the middle of a story. This had to be 22 right. pages because I couldn't switch the vibe up in the middle of an issue because that's weird, right? So I think graphic novels like this let you just play with whatever length you want. Is it 200 pages? Yeah, it's 200 pages because that's what the story needed. Or it's 150
it felt good.
Pages. You know,
it felt good to jump into is. Something like this after reading, you know, those volumes and series on there. I agree with you. I want to ask you too about our character in here's relationship. He does have his kind of crush. I believe her name is Ren.
Yeah.
What did you think about the relationship depiction in a graphic novel? You know, like we've read certainly plenty of romantic scenes in novels and in comics and things like that. How did this come off to you?
I thought it was an interesting, like, look, he went to his sad bar and he did get his meet cute, right? Like the thing that he tried to do, he does get that. And then it comes back in a very awkward way that she's an oncologist and his mom gets cancer and she happens to be the oncologist that they meet with. But then that doesn't happen. Their relationship gets weird. He doesn't want to call her because he's like, his mom's dying, right? And so he doesn't know right. how to handle that. And so they meet and he's talking to her about it. And I thought the ending of this, it was hard for me to like, it's like she see like you normally he understands the conversation and you see him realize the real world in this moment. But the story ends with him having a real conversation with her, right? About, you know, because she, my reading of it is that as a doctor, as an oncologist who delivers this bad news all the time, you robot out and you just matter-of-factly go, this is what it is. I understand. You have to shut yourself off. Otherwise, you're pulled into those emotions too much. And in this conversation, she's, you know, talking to him and like, I'm sorry, you know, I can't do anything, right? But he tells her, like, it's not your fault, right? It's not your burden to deal with this. But then he tells her what he's really sad about is all the things he's not going to be able to do. And that seems right. to open her up and you see her see the world in color for the first time.
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
It was an interesting way to end the story, but it ends on like what? Six pages of silence.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that your reading is really great. I didn't even think about that. And now it just kind of illuminated something for me is, at first I was like, oh, okay. I like this Ren character. It's a bit manic pixie dream girl.
Oh yeah.
You know, like on there. But when you said that at the end, you know, when you just said it, like, you know, she's an oncologist and she does give the sense that like, hey, I have to give this bad news all the time. At one point, Nick's like, you got to save her. And she's like, don't you put that on me. Like, you can't tell me that. Anyway, she might be attracted to Nick and put up this guy's because she sees in Nick, oh, this is someone who is like light. This is like surface stuff on here. And after dealing with death all day long, I need some lighthearted play. I need someone who's goes into a bar, orders a milk stout, realizes they don't like it, and orders like an apple spritzer, right?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
kind of like silly, non-serious man.
Yeah.
Right. And when he starts to get serious at first, she's like, I don't think this is like, can you help me? And like, this is too deep for me.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she sees something, like you said, it opens up. And so there is this kind of meeting of the two where they're like, they might be prepared to now be those deep, safe places for each other. I don't know.
So, there's this, you're right. They do get this moment where they get to connect. So overall, I mean, you're right. It is this manic pixie dream girl kind of thing at first, but then you don't know if they're together at the end. Right. They have this scene where he's like, can we meet? I didn't think you'd come, blah, 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 blah. And it ends on this series of silent panels where she's kind of discovering what it means to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So as the story ended, was there anything that you wanted more of, or do you think it gave you the, did it, Did it wrap up the way you wanted it to wrap up, or did you need more from it?
No, absolutely. I think that's what I loved about this. And I read it in one sitting as well, as you said, the day after on there. And I was like, Indie Summer has begun, because I think, I'm not saying every indie graphic, self-contained graphic novel is going to feel like a whole piece on here. But to me, it was a perfect ending. You know, we've seen him deal out with the fallout of his mother.
Yeah.
And now we see this relationship might get rekindled on there, and that he is not cured of his solitude or loneliness, but he's learning to be vulnerable, and he's learning to not have as many expectations when it comes to these conversations and confrontations.
Yeah.
And more about just kind of letting life come to him. I think for me, what was essential to the story, and if it wasn't in here, it wouldn't be nearly as good, is the mom and his relationship.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just a story about a guy who is socially awkward out in public. This is a story about a guy who feels like he can't even really connect to his own mother. Like, there's a distance there. And when he does, you know, he's talking to her, he's asking her about like life and, you know, in the past, and she's not really giving him what he wants. And he's like, I'm just trying to talk to you here. And she's like, well, you haven't asked me any questions.
Yeah. You haven't asked anything about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's what it was. You haven't asked anything about me. And it was like light bulb moment. So those moments of realization and enlightenment are really kind of spread out in these tiny epiphany moments that if you're just reading it straight through, you can kind of miss. But when you add them all together, it does feel like a significant character arc by the end.
I would agree with you. I think it's this, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it was a really good story. It feels ready to be a movie. And I think we run into this all the time on this show where you're like, oh, this would be a great TV show. This would be a great movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think it needs to be a movie, right? That's not what I'm saying. But I think it feels very much like a
500
like
Days of Summer or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels very much in that sort of indie movie vein. It would be in a very vignette-y, goofy, surreal, right? Because all of those bar scenes or all of those coffee shops are surreal jokes on coffee shops, right? There's like literally one called like gentrification or something like that, like whatever the bar is, right? And then there's a comment about like the logo is written in Helvetica, right? And then later they go to the same bar and she's like, oh, you updated the font, right? He went with a different font. He does all of these scenes feel very, there's some very otherworldly, surreal natures to it. So the scene when he goes on the date with Ren and then they end up, they're going to have sex, right? They go on their date and he goes, it's showtime. And then the next panels are like a stage play of them like going to dinner, talking, getting drunk, leaving, getting in the Uber, watching TV, him struggling, you can a giant condom as he's trying to like navigate that, then them having sex and then them bowing and then it's done, right? It was a very interesting way to kind of show that piece. And there's a ton of sparse space in the art in this book. And I think this is a good transition to art as we talk about the book. There's a giant amount of open space on pages, where there'll be a page and then it's just a drawing of, you know, their socks or her socks on his floor, you know, and then or like his it like is a series of like, oh, there's their pants and then a watch on the floor. And it's not going to show very well. Yeah. And then socks for a page. And then it's just a lot of sparse whiteness. So it's just this very sparse way of showing the art. And is that sparseness his loneliness or is that just his art style? It feels very diary, right? Because of how sparse it is, because of how solo are. he does a really good job of doing facial expressions, a really good job of showing sort of like him being shocked or surprised, or just you can see the loneliness in those drawings of the main character, Nick. And he does a really good job of it, but he's balancing that sort of cartoony cartoon. He's a cartoonist, right? And you really do get those cartoons, and you can tell he does strips. He does New Yorker single panels, or he does strips of like blah, blah, blah punchline. You get that in his art. I read afterwards, Travis, because as you're flipping through this on Kindle, when you finish the book, it's like, oh, hey, do you want to read his series of things from The New Yorker? So I did. I read his series of like New Yorker comics because it was free on Kindle. And, you know, it's very New Yorker. Right. Yeah. Like it's bits and pieces. It's goofy little stories. It's very sort of like New York jokes. Right. Or jokes. Yeah. It feels very hipster. Right. Some of the stuff and some of the art in there. But it was I can go, OK, I can see how he took that style and then how you grow that into a full story. Right.
Right.
And in his interview. Story, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. In his interview, he talked about that. He says he had a hard time. He had to slow the story down because he says there's just not a lot of dialogue in it. And it was like, I wanted people to get their money's worth. And, you know, if it's just like lonely guy, dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. So I think his attempt, you know, to do the watches and the pants and some of let those things breathe is also just to kind of slow down that pace of that story a little bit. And not feel like I'm sure a New Yorker strip, when you have like three panels to tell a joke, you got to be tight and you got to be quick. Right. And I'm sure it's hard to loosen that up to tell a longer narrative. I want to ask you about the main kind of oddity of art in this book is when we break from the pencils and the black and white to these large colored backgrounds and panels on there. When this happens, when Nick, our protagonist, finds himself getting into a deeper conversation in his mind, it takes him to this kind of phantasmic world with like waterfalls and weird creatures and mountains. And it just kind of his world opens up for him. What are your thoughts on this when you first saw it? Because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I think it when you see it happen a couple times, you get to this point where you go, oh, the name of the book is In, right? So he wants to fit in, or he wants to be in real relationship or communication with someone. He wants to be let into someone's world, right? And so you see it when he has those conversations. He's talking to the plumber. And the plumber, he tells the plumber, I feel embarrassed about myself around people like you, Steve. And then they lock eyes. And then Steve says, I feel like that sometimes. And then it's him.
It's so great.
In this mountain vista as he's kind of being let into what it means to have real conversations with people and discover things. And it breaks when the plumber's like, anyway, I better go. Right. And he's zapped out of this. He's almost there. He can see this village in the mountains. He's almost into a real conversation and really going deep with somebody. And then it's broken off by the plumber.
In some ways, it reminds me of Fight Club in the sense that instead of fighting, it's conversation where he gets this euphoric kind of like, oh, I want to chase that now. I got to chase that moment.
Yeah. Like, what's this hyper realistic thing, right? It happens again when he connects with his nephew, right? And he's like, well, what do you want? And he's like, I want you. I want to be with my uncle, right? And then it's him and it's these weird, it's like Burning Man and it's like an effigy of him being burned and all these little creatures worshiping him. And then they start biting and attacking him. And then it's like him and his nephew. And it's this very interesting thing where he's finally letting people into his world. And that's why I think at the very end, when it flips to like her realization of Ren's realization of being let into this world, you can see that he's not alone in wanting to find a deeper connection, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's finding a deeper connection too. And I thought that was a very, I don't know, it's a very interesting, I think that's the great thing about comic books, right? You get to do this surrealist thing and you, it runs through a series of him like, ooh, I went deep with the plumber. I went deep with my nephew. Now everyone I talk to, I'm going to try to get a little deeper with. And so there's like a panel per people. There's a person, the neighbor lady he connects with, the bartender he connects with. But I think that that's what comics lets you do. And I think that's what like indie comics like this, graphic novels let you do is explore something at a different pace with a different art style. You know, we just read The Nobody not too long ago, and that felt like the same sort of thing. How do we explore something in a different way through graphic novels and independent, you know, art that's not tied to the IP of superheroes or weekly comic books? And I really dug it. I thought it was a great story with a lot to say about human connection, right?
Yeah, I think loneliness is easy to portray in art. I think connection's harder. And I think those breakout panels are an interesting way of showing that, those moments that pay off on there. You could show a guy alone in a sparse room environment. Oh, it's a lonely guy. But like, how do we show connection? You can't just put a character in a crowd and that means connection. So I really think that this was, this is a great book to start off in the summer. I thought it was fantastic.
I think so. I think I'm looking forward to more of this. And I think the interesting thing about this is, I mean, last year we did Star Wars Summer and we just read a ton of Star Wars. So it's the same thing, but through different lenses. And then we did, a Superman Summer and it was Superman, but different varieties of that. So I'm really looking forward to falling into this idea of different stories, different takes, different ways to explore things. To kind of go through that. So this is our first book. So to wrap our conversation, Travis, I want to talk about this and then maybe we can revisit this at the end of our last book.
Sure.
What are you now having read this? What are you hoping to get from these books as we make it through graphic novel summer?
Well, I think this might grow, but I really liked it really did feel, especially this one, since it was written by and illustrated by one person, it felt like really discovering one person's perspective and art and vision. I know it's not going to be the same with all of them because some of them have writers and illustrators and different colorists on there. Yeah. So I guess I just want to see things that I haven't seen in comics before. Like we just talked about, the idea that we're going to show connection by taking these comic panels every once in a while and making them full color in these large landscapes. And like, oh, that's how he's attempting to show this emotion, this feeling. Yeah. I wonder what other cool techniques that I've never seen in these more mainstream books that I will uncover this summer. Like, show me something specifically even with art that I haven't seen before in a way to tell a story.
I would agree with you. I think that's something that I'm looking for. And I think also I'm looking for the idea of show me something that you wouldn't do in a weekly comic book. Show me something that you explore it in a way. And I think you mentioned it earlier. We talked about the pacing of this book. I'm looking forward to stories being told in a different way and stories being explored or ideas being explored through comic books, but those ideas feeling different.
Yeah.
You know, we went through reading all of those absolute books and we talked about how they're all exploring something, right? They're exploring the heart of the character. They all have something to say. That Superman book, you know, the Batman book feeling very anti-corporation a little bit. And you know, just the trippy exploration of self in that Martian Manhunter book, Wonder Woman being kind of an exploration of love and that. I'm interested to see how that's done, how we explore those things with a free rein of pacing and not right. being tied to the weekly grind of comic books. So our next book, we started Indie Summer with In. Our next book, and I always forget the name of this book.
Cosmic Space Odyssey? Is that
it? Nope, that's not it. Nope. Cosmic something or other of the world. Man, now I see this is, I should have had this pulled up already, Travis Ratz, but I don't. It is
Organisms from an ancient cosmos.
Right down the road.
Organisms from an ancient cosmos.
Ancient cosmos. There we go. Organisms from an ancient cosmos, written and illustrated by S. Craig Zoller. That'll be the next book we do. I believe, Travis, that will feel very different having started to read it. I think it's going to be a very different conversation. And I think that might be what I'm looking forward to the most is each of these books being so vastly different and having very different conversations, but then having the through line of indie comics, right? This is what we get to do with indie comics. So I think that's it. Travis, anything else you want to say about In?
Nope.
All right. Folks, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on the internet at comicexposure.com or on Instagram at comicexposure. We're also on the YouTube, so you can check us out on YouTube. Comic Exposure is the tag there. Thank you for tuning in. Write a review, rate us, subscribe on the YouTube or whatever it is that you do. If you want to watch us blather on about this stuff, you can do that. Or if you're a listening person, you can listen. I don't know that we're much to look at as we go through this. We're not throwing up panels or anything like that. But I know some people like to watch instead of listen. So maybe turn this on while you're hanging out in your house, and you can do that way. If you're a podcast listener, you want to do the YouTube route, you can. If you found us on YouTube and you want to do this via the podcast, flip however you're listening to it. We come at you through several different medias. And I think that's it. That's all we got. Next issue is going to be an interesting episode, I think. It's going to be a very different conversation than this one. I'm looking forward to that. And we will see you next trade.